Hey, this is Jeff Ratcliffe here. What are your main complaints about daily fantasy sports? How about that there's no value? Your money goes in, doesn't ever seem to come out, and you get to play for only one day. Or is it because there's so many experts you just never seem to win? Well, now you can play something better. Stat Hero. Stat Hero is the very first house-based game that combines the best of daily fantasy sports and survivor pools. Each Stat Hero contest lasts multiple days but requires only one entry fee, so your money lasts longer. Again, you can play multiple days with only one entry fee, and it's really simple. If you survive to the next round, you get paid. With Stat Hero, every round you advance means more money. Here's the best part. No more competing with the sharks or experts ever, because your only competition is Stat Hero itself. Survive the game and get ready to play the next chapter in fantasy sports. Finally, a game that was designed for the rest of us. Stat Hero is here. To download the app, go to stathero.com. What is up? It's a Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Tuesday, October 15th. Time to talk about some waivers, week 7. I gotta tell you, trim the fat, man. Trim the fat. If you have players on your bench that you do not need on your bench, it's time to let them go. It's time to get rid of them. You know, you don't need... I'm just setting myself up for people to tweet me how I'm wrong on this. But you don't need a backup defense. You don't. You don't need a backup defense. You certainly could get rid of a backup quarterback if you've already found your starter. Like, if you have Lamar, you're good. You're good. You could get rid of them. You can get rid of, low upside running backs. You know, if you don't need starters, you're just wasting spots on your bench. It is time to trim the fat. It is time to load up for upside because, hey, we're at the halfway point of the fantasy regular season. So let's dive right into the waiver wire. I like to keep this show short, so that you can set your waiver claims without spending 4.5 hours doing so on a Tuesday night. So we're kicking things off at the quarterback position. You're really looking for streamers. There's no long-term ads at the position. And I think this week, your top streamer option in any format would be Josh Allen. Only going 3-5% on him because I don't like to spend on streamers. I don't think we need to waste a lot of our fab on those guys. But he's playing the Dolphins this week, so it's, you know, I don't even need to tell you why you need to stream him. Now, in regular size leagues, if you were actually looking for, you know, maybe some depth, I don't see the need here, but I'm going to cast a wide net regardless. Kirk Cousins is in play, 1-3%. Don't just look at the last few weeks of production. This week, a much tougher matchup. He faces the Lions. You can run on the Lions, but the pass defense is relatively good, especially with Darius Slay back on the field. So keep that in mind. I think Cousins comes back to earth this week. Sam Darnold as well. I like him as a long-term guy, especially if you're in a league where, you know, quarterbacks are sort of at a premium. So in other words, like a 14 or a 16 team league, then you could look to add Darnold there. Interesting option over the long haul, but he faces the Patriots this week, so he's not in play this week. 1-3% on him. Deep leagues, I mean, if you want to get out ahead of it, Kyle Allen. There's a chance that the Panthers make that switch. Now, I don't think it happens, but if you think it does, there are worse ads to make in deeper two-quarterback leagues. And then Ryan Tannehill as well. I haven't seen any news just yet, but it was supposed to come out last night. At least that's what Twitter told me. I didn't see anything so far, though, as to whether or not Tannehill will be the starter going forward, but you get out ahead of it. And worst case scenario, you drop him if they decide to continue with Marcus Mariota. I think the clock ultimately is going to be ticking here, though, whether or not they make that switch. Still pretty crazy, nonetheless, to think that, you know, Mariota a couple years ago, people thought essentially almost like a can't-miss guy. Well, he's missing. He is missing. So anyway, moving over to running back. Better options at running back this week. I think Tevin Coleman is really the top option of the week. If he's available, I know he's not available in every league, that's for sure, but he is somewhat widely available given expectations. So anybody who's under 80% owned, I'm going to talk about on this show. And Coleman is under 80% owned right now. So go 15-30% on him. What I love about him, and this is what I expected, with Coleman back on the field, he is the red zone back. That's why they were using Jeff Wilson, because they weren't confident in Mostert or Breda in the red zone. So Coleman is the red zone back, and this team is pretty good. And Coleman, you know, nice high floor. He's going to touch the ball a lot. He's going to get a lot of opportunities. He's going to be an RB2 going forward. Nice, nice pickup right there. And this is the last chance you have to pick up Devin Singletary. 10 to 20%, not going overboard on him. And the thing is, we have to have reasonable expectations. Sometimes I know there's this perception among people that because you pick up a player, you should be able to start him. And that's not the case with some of these guys, right? We're not picking up Singletary to start him this week, even with the Dolphins on the schedule. What we're doing is we're picking him up for November and especially December. I mean, this is the type of guy every year who we see as like a league winner type. He has that profile. It isn't guaranteed to happen, but you know what? If you don't take any shots, you're not going to make any shots, right? So we're taking a shot with Devin Singletary. Moving to the regular size leagues, I'm adding Chase Edmonds at 7 to 15%. I'm not using him either. Like, I know it worked out well this past week, but David Johnson is still clearly the lead back in that backfield. This is a play of, in case David Johnson gets hurt, then all of a sudden Chase Edmonds is really appealing. Carlos Hyde, also 7 to 15%. You'll notice I mention him after Edmonds because even though, yes, you can use Carlos Hyde right now as a flex or maybe even an RB2 option, his low ceiling just isn't appealing compared to Edmonds. So, I mean, he's a volume guy. If you need a starter this week, you add Hyde. If you need if you need upside for the long haul and you're good with your starters, then you add Edmonds. Malcolm Brown, 5 to 10. Darrell Henderson, 5 to 10. So both of them. But I prefer Brown. He did get more touches this past week. We don't know what's going on with Gurley just yet. I think the Rams offense, you know, they really should bounce back this week given the matchup. And, you know, again, it's one of those, if the entire team's doing better, the running back is going to produce. So I don't think we throw the towel in on Brown just yet. And we add them both just in case. If I'm prioritizing, like I said, I'm going to add Brown. I wouldn't add both of them, by the way. So maybe, you know, if I say 5 to 10%, you put 8% on Brown. And then you back that up with like 5% on Henderson. That way, if you don't get Brown, you might get Henderson, that sort of thing. Alexander Mattison, 5 to 10% as well. I mention him like every week on this show. I think he's just such a good football player. And it could happen. If Dalvin Cook goes down, all of a sudden we're saying 25 to 50% on Alexander Mattison. So isn't it great when that happens? I'm sure you've had it happen to you before where you have that guy and everybody's running the waiver wire and they're like, wait a minute, when did you pick him up? Right? Oh yeah, I got him a couple weeks ago. I spent $3 on him. You know, that's the best feeling. Adrian Peterson, 3 to 5%. No upside. They're going to use him, sure. Rough matchup this week, no upside. I just don't see that much appeal. But then again, you know, if your waiver wire is picked over, you might not be able to be choosy here. Latavius Murray, 1 to 3%. It's another one upside play if Kamara got hurt. Kareem Hunt, downgrading my expectations just a little bit. 1 to 3% on him. Nick Chubb's so productive as an early down runner. I just don't see them giving up those touches to Hunt. Hunt's basically going to be a passing down back. At least that's how it's shaping up right now. So just be careful. And then Benny Snell, 1 to 3%. Connor banged up yet again, continually banged up. And Snell saw a lot of work this past week. So with Jalen Samuels banged up as well, I think we stash Snell in deeper leagues just in case. I don't think the Connor thing's anything serious, but just in case. Moving over to wide receiver, Temple University shout out. Robbie Anderson, top in my list this week, 15 to 30%. Getting Darnold back was all the difference because now we're looking at Anderson right where he was to start the season, like an upside wide receiver 3. John Brown, 10 to 20% plus matchup this week. Josh Allen's top target. Love the chemistry between those two. And I think you're going to get wide receiver 3 production out of him over the long haul. Golden Tate, 10 to 20%. Shepard's still going to be banged up for a bit here. So Tate's the de facto number one. Did a pretty good job in a tough matchup this past week. So credit where credit's due there. I just think once Shepard comes back, you know, you look at Tate more as a wide receiver 4. But still, you know, this week, if you need some help, it's not a bad matchup this week. I don't think Patrick Peterson follows him to the slot and because Patrick Peterson is back this week to shadow him. I don't think that happens. Jamison Crowder, 10 to 20% volume with Darnold back there. I prefer Anderson, but Crowder should be owned as well. DK Metcalf, 7 to 15%. Got a sneaky feeling this week. I do think that Tyler Lockett gets a shadow from Marlon Humphrey, which could open things up for DK Metcalf this week. DeSean Jackson, 7-15%. Just talking him on the bench, even if he doesn't get back this week. I do think once he gets back on the field, we're going to see that big play upside yet again. Auden Tate, 4-7%. I just don't want much to do with the Bengals offense, but he is at least producing. Corey Davis, who'd have thought? Getting Ryan Tannehill back could be good for somebody, and certainly for Corey Davis, it could be good. So pick him up. Anthony Miller, 3-5%. He was trending up before the bye, so still like tucking him away on benches. Dante Pettis trending up, finally, 1-3%. Still not, not anything more than a deeper add. Tavon Austin, 1-3%. Amari Cooper's banged up, may not play. We saw a lot of Austin. Now, it was out of the slot. It was also because Randall Cobb was banged up, but it's one of those sneaky adds in a good matchup. You may not get anything out of this, though, so just be careful. And then finally, Duke Williams at 1-3%. Zay Jones is in Oakland, in case you missed that one. So Duke Williams is the number three receiver now there in Buffalo. Moving to tight end, Hunter Henry, the top ad of the week, 20-40%. I have to say, I really didn't expect this. I mean, I know I love him as a player. I think he's just so good at the position. But I expected them to ease him back in. Nope. Dude didn't skip a beat. Got right back on the field. Was a monster. Now, this week, it isn't a crazy good matchup. But then again, he's just going to see. I mean, it's not a terrible matchup either. He's just going to see volume going forward. And especially in the red zone. If you don't have a tight end, you are not alone. If Hunter Henry is out there, I would spend. I normally don't want to spend on tight ends. I would spend on this dude, and it's not just because I love him as a player. It's because he's going to be a stud going forward. Jared Cook, 5-10%. Got in the end zone again. Not a lot doing there for fantasy purposes, but Drew Brees nearing his return. So if you don't get Henry, maybe Cook is a nice consolation prize. Chris Herndon, I am adding him at 3-5%. Don't be fooled by Ryan Griffin. These aren't the droids you're looking for, okay? Yes, last week, okay? Last week. Herndon is the tight end we want for the long term. I don't know if he plays this week, but he was activated. He probably will. I don't have him in projections for this week. But what I'm looking at is if there's a guy out there who can give me top 10 production going forward, then at this god-awful position, I'm going to take it. Ryan Griffin is not that guy. Chris Herndon could be that guy. Let's just be clear on that one. Finally, deeper leagues. Darren Fells, he's a big dude, and he's playing pretty well. So we'll add him at 1%, same with Ricky Seals-Jones. I mentioned Ricky Seals-Jones last week, and I said, hey, he didn't have a catch, but he looks good. Well, this week he had more than just a catch. And he looked good yet again. And Baker seems to have a nice connection with him. So might even be underselling him a little bit. It's just he's historically been volatile from game to game. So just keep that in mind with Ricky Seals-Jones. All right, for your defensive streamers, you do not need a backup defense. And by the way, let's just pump the brakes a little bit on those New England Patriots. I think they do come back to earth this week and don't put up enormous fantasy numbers in a matchup that, hey, the Jets... That's a totally different matchup with Darnold there. It's not like Darnold is Joe freaking Namath or anything, but it's totally different. And really what we're looking at is turnovers for team defense upside. And I don't think you're not going to get that without Luke Falk there. Anyway, I'm streaming the 49ers. I think people are finally starting to wake up to the fact the 49ers are just a good team and a good defense, especially. They have a really nice matchup against Washington, so they're top streamer of the week. Remember, we're not spending anything more than 1%. If you're streaming defenses, you head into the season basically figuring you're going to stream, 15 weeks because you set yourself up well in the draft for week one, and then you stream 15 weeks. So you have to allocate roughly 15% of your budget. Now, hopefully, you end up with a situation like if you stream the Panthers, like I said a couple weeks ago, you got them as a multi-week stream, and boy, did that work out against Jameis. But so maybe you go under 15%, but I always allocate 15% of my budget heading into the season. That is assuming that you have to make the playoffs and make it to the championship, though. But I allocate that for streaming purposes, so no more than 1%. Jacksonville, 1%. They are owned in 66% of leagues, so they might be owned in your league. If they are, no big deal. But if they're available, obviously we have to look at them against the Bengals this week. The sneaky deep one for me, Arizona. So, yes, they have not been good. But They get Patrick Peterson back. That should instantly help. It's not as much as like how Darnold helped the offensive side for the Jets, but he should help the defensive side because essentially now he takes away a part of the field. So there's not as much for the opposing offenses to exploit here. And then when you look at the Giants offense, they've turned the ball over 2.5 times per game. That's a league high right now. So the Cardinals are a sneaky, deeper option to stream. All right, that is going to do it for us today. Remember, on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the pod, and we'll break down rankings for you for week 7. Yeah, I'm excited. I love football, man. I love it. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. For PFF, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.